I was looking through some of my old papers a while back, and the Lord's Supper, you know, we don't hear much on that too much anyway. Sometimes they wonder why we keep the Lord's Supper. To begin with, it was a last request of our Lord, if you might say it actually wasn't, but it would be what we might call a deathbed request. Years ago, we used to have more deathbed requests than we do today. Today, they're so full of drugs that they either don't know what they're doing or they're unconscious. But they would ask their children or their loved ones to do this or to that. And because you love them, the idea was to keep the promise. Well, this is the promise that we should have to our Lord. Keep his wish. This do in remembrance of me. So we'd like to look at a few verses. We think first of John 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then John 3, I should be able to quote it, but I want to make sure. 3:19 and 20, Ray Zander used to quote it quite a bit. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We're all sinners. And even though we're saved, we're sinners. There's only two types of people in the world, saved sinners and lost sinners. And the saved sinner should be doing his best to walk in the will of the Lord, to walk close to the Lord. We were hearing some of that this morning. Our desire should be to be at his feet. We should be wanting to glorify him. He should be the delights of our hearts. Now, most people will call this or that worship in a revival meeting. And that's the wrong word anyway. You can only revive that which had some life in it to begin with. What they mean there is an evangelical outreach. You might revive someone that knows Christ as Savior, bringing them back to the Lord. But if they haven't known the Lord to begin with, they've never been alive spiritually. The real worship service, the breaking of bread, when everything that we do is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all of these other meetings, they are a form of religion, worship. But they are not worship per se. Worship is strictly giving everything to the Lord. It's a silent witness to the truth the enemies of souls would like to silence. Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood there is no remission. And it must be the blood of someone that is absolutely spotless. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I'd like to look over, well, we needn't look there. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now you say, well, we'll die too. Yes, but the child of God is only going to die one death. The lost soul is dying two deaths. Going to die physically and spiritually. Eternal separation from God. Death is separation. When a person dies, their soul and spirit have left the body. But the second death is eternal separation from God. We'd like to look at 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Now, there'll be quite a bit of reading, what I'm going to be doing. But I don't apologize for that. It's the Word of God. It can do far more than I can do. 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians, 23rd verse. Sometime we'll have to speak on the first half of that chapter. It looks like a lot of people like to dodge it, but God said it some say, well, Paul detested or didn't like women. Well, you know something? Paul couldn't have been in the Sanhedrin if he hadn't been a married man. So either his wife had left him after he got saved, or she had passed away, because we never hear of her. But he was the oracle through which God speaks to us. One of the oracles. He wrote as the Holy Spirit led him. And this portion is the same, beginning with the 23rd verse. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And the betrayal was probably in process at the very time. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And that after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my body, or ratified in my body, or my blood rather. This do in as often as ye drink in remembrance of me. Now, as often as ye drink, the Greek means as many times soever, implying often to be partaken of. Not once a year, or once a half a year, or a quarter of a year, or even monthly. They came together the first day of the week to break bread. Paul happened to be there at that time, but they didn't come primarily to hear Paul. They came to break bread. I'll tell you a little story about breaking of bread. Some have heard it maybe quite a few times. In Moscow, during the time of the Soviet Union, there was an assembly across the street from the Kremlin. And a man came through here, Mr. Dashfield. He was a missionary. In fact, he had been an atheist. And for those that don't know, in Great Britain, you can get on the soapbox and you can preach till your heart's content anywhere. But the moment you incite the overthrow of the government or riot, you're locked up. And that's what he did. He tried to prove there was no God. And most of these atheists are brilliant men or women. And once he was saved, he tried to undo that which he had already done, and that's almost an impossibility. And he actually went to every country in the world preaching the gospel. When he left here, he was a little fat man. He was on the way to Western Canada, as far as he knew, on foot, to reach the Indians. But that assembly had a notice on their bulletin board. Now, mind you, there was 2,000 at the city. So it was a good-sized assembly. But it stated for no brother or sister to come more than once a week for fear of making it impossible for some other brother or sister to break bread, because they broke bread 7 days a week. That's 14,000 breaking bread across the street from the Kremlin. That's when Russia was trying to put the Christians down. One of those times he was there, 87 people were baptized. Only 4 of them were men. But the Russian government knew the Bible too. They knew that the women it wasn't their place to preach publicly. But the women gossiped the gospel. They spoke to one another. They spoke to others. The people they came in contact with, they witnessed. Souls were saved. But the four men, within a matter of days, they were gone. Siberia or wherever, they were never seen again. The Russian government felt that they could eliminate the men. They could stop the Christianity here from growing, but it kept growing. And it seemed the harder they tried to stop it, the more it grew. All right, let's get back to where we were. Verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show, proclaim, preach the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily, or rather in an unworthy manner, shall be guilty of the body of the Lord and blood of the Lord. Now some people say, well, I'm unworthy. We're all unworthy. And these old bodies of ours will always be unworthy until that day comes that we'll be taken to be with himself and have bodies like unto his own. But it means in an unworthy manner. You got things in your life that shouldn't be there, they should be straightened out. Thoughts that shouldn't be there, they should be confessed to the Lord. And as a boy, they used to have a Sunday school, or not a Sunday school, young people's gathering once a month in one of the homes. And whenever you were in one of those homes, invariably you never saw the man of the house. What was he doing? He was getting prepared for Sunday morning. He was in the book. He was in his hymnal. He was getting right, as it were, with the Lord. Now, that should be going on all week, but this is something special. Well, the breaking of bread at a special time. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, or in an unworthy manner, again, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, it says many sleep. That doesn't mean that they're literally sleeping. It means they're asleep in the Lord. The Lord has taken them home. Now, the child of God can correct himself. But the Lord knows everything about us. Foreknowledge. He knows if you or I are ever going to correct ourselves. And if we're not, do you think he's going to leave us here? No. Just takes us on home. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves or correct ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. In other words, the Lord has taken us out to the woodshed and used the strap on us. He's correcting you. If you belong to a family that just lets you run as you please, they might claim they love you, but they don't. Or they don't know what real love is. You don't like to have to put the strap on a child, or even deprive them of something. But some of them have to be, they can be spoken to, it corrects them. Another one, they be deprived of something. Another one needs to be spanked. And if you were like me, you had to have all of it. And I can look back and I could have had a whole lot more. I have to be very careful with my old Bible here. Verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto the judgment, and the rest will I set in order when I come. And then, we should quote this, but I'd like you to take a look at it anyway. Numbers, the 9th chapter. Numbers 9. And let's read the third verse. On the 14th day of this month, at evening, ye shall keep it in its appointed season. That is the Passover. Verse 5, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at evening in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Jehovah commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day, and those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering of Jehovah in its appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what Jehovah will command concerning you. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto Jehovah. The 14th day of the second month at evening they shall keep it, and eat it with the unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Verse 13. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey, and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of Jehovah in its appointed season. Excuse me. That man shall bear his sin. And what is the Passover? It's a picture. It's a picture of the work of Christ. And if God was so strict, so stern, as to how this was to be kept, and that it would be kept, these people were cut off. Not always by death, but it could be by death. They were put out from amongst his people. Now, if that is just a picture, how much more important is the remembrance feast? We don't have the picture, we have the real thing. We have the Lord himself. And it was his request that we do this in remembrance of himself. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. First Corinthians 5. And we'll read verse 7 and 8. Purge out therefore the old leaven. And of course leaven means evil. It's a picture of evil. That ye may not be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now, what's that telling us? That Christ is our Passover. Well, then that indicates that the actual Passover was a picture of the Lord when he would come here and die in our room instead. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And we should be gathered with the Lord's people. You know, some people say, well, I'm strong. I've seen them do it. I know the Lord. He'll give me the strength. I can do it by myself. But if we're that strong, we should be there to help strengthen those that don't have the strength. We think we're that strong. But you stay away from God's people, and you'll soon find yourself drifting. One way or another. You stay with his people and you find yourself getting, or you should find yourself getting closer to Himself. We should find ourselves becoming more like the Lord Himself. Now, 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Beginning with the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. And God were to act with us today, can you imagine what it would be? It would be dead persons all over the place. Neither let us put Christ to the test, as some of them also tested him and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples or ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages were come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make the way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. We heard some of that this morning. The body's here on earth. The head is in heaven. Christ is the head, and we're the body. If one brother or sister offends or hurts another, you are offend or you hurt the body of Christ. My brother was mentioning too that we can't do anything. The body can't do anything without the head telling it to do it. That's right. What's up there in that little part of our skull controls the whole body. The Lord Jesus Christ should be controlling us and every other one that knows Christ as their personal Savior. We may approach things in different manners, but it should all be done to the glory of our Lord and to the saving of precious souls, to the upbuilding of God's dear people. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning with the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus. Now, we know that the Church of Rome makes its saints, and they're just lately trying to make a few more saints. Maybe Paul will be made a saint. Well, whether he is or not, I don't know. I kind of doubt it. He's in a position, and he has the place of getting the research or finding the truths of the Word of God. Now, whether he actually has, I don't know. Billy Graham made the statement. Now, whether Billy's having problems mentally or what, he said he thought he was the greatest Christian that ever lived. Now, I hope he is saved. But I certainly can't say he was the greatest Christian that ever lived. Now, if he is a Christian or he was a Christian, granted, he had a hard road to hoe. But certainly, how could he have joy in his salvation? He might know Christ as Savior, but we're to have joy in our salvation. And if we were thinking that others that we taught were not saved, how in the world could you have joy in your salvation? You know, it certainly wasn't pleasing the Lord. And those of the Roman Church believe they have to go through purgatory. And that you can be prayed out of purgatory. And this Pope that has just taken this position has put something about indulgences. That was a way back in the 16th century, 15th, 14th centuries? Pay the Pope so much in your sins that you haven't even committed. He's already taken care of them for you. Well, the Lord has done that if we're saved. He's paid for it, and we don't have to give him any money for it. We need to just give ourselves to him. It's a mockery. So each one that knows Christ as Jesus, as Savior, what is he? We're saints. We're brethren. We're brothers in the Lord. We're part of the household of faith. Every term that, how should we say it, describes a Christian, that applies to all of us. Every last one of us. The saints who are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We might go back and word that a little different, who hath blessed us in Christ. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, through which he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, in the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We find this love in action, in which he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, and in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest or the promise or the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you hath he made alive, or quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now there's a marvel. God sees us as though we were already in heaven. But I've mentioned it once before. When God, before he even created anything, it's as though he had painted a great panoramic picture. And we're all in it. He knew what everyone would do. And he knows that that picture is going to be fulfilled. Verse 6 again. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now I dare say, if we could tell you, you get out here on number 95, on your hands and knees, and go up to heaven, or up to Washington rather, you would automatically have the right to heaven. You wouldn't be able to get on the road. Everyone would be there doing it. And then if you did get to heaven, heaven wouldn't be heaven. Each one would be bragging on what he or she did. And pretty soon we'd be fighting one another who did the most. But the way it is, the only bragging there will be in heaven is as to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that made it all possible for us. He was our substitute. He took our place. Hebrews 2, the last part of the 9th verse, he tasted death for every man. Not for some men, every man. And yet salvation is only to those that accept the free gift of salvation. Then he says in Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Now some people want to put off. Procrastinators, there are many procrastinators. I'm always known as a procrastinator. Put it off to the last minute. Spiritually, you do it, you might put it off one moment too long. So when we're dealing with people, we have to urge them to be urgent. Get saved now. The Lord said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Some people say, well, next week, next year, a moment later. A moment might be too late. God doesn't promise any one of us one more heartbeat. And how many times have we seen the sickly going on, and the guy that looked like there was nothing wrong with him, boom, he's gone. He thought he had lots of time. And then one person gets saved real young. I was only 9 when I got saved. Now, believe to this day, if I hadn't trusted the Lord then, I might never have trusted him. Because I knew full well. I knew it as clear as I do today, or better. And then another person might be on his deathbed at 99 before whatever it is, it's the Holy Spirit dealing with them, enlightens them. So I see it, what it is. It's just like Joe Kelly's stepmother. She would do anything for you. And she sort of thinks she's saved, but it's doubtful. It's all works. And that's the problem with people that are so good when it comes to doing it. Their good works stand in their way. There's one thing about the person in the gutter. He knows where he is. And you can usually reach him before you can reach so-called good people. They think they're good enough. But it said the Lord came to what? He came to save what? Sinners. But the good people don't think they're sinners. But how many of us can keep the first and second commandment? The Lord thy God, love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. We can't do it for 5 minutes, let alone a lifetime. And the chain, Ray used to always make it, the Ten Commandments are like a chain of 10 links. If you break one, what happened to the chain? Chain broken. You break one law and you're broken. If you break one link, you've broken the law. So if you're trying to live by the Ten Commandments to get saved, you're out of luck. The only one ever did it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was very God himself. I believe this, when God said, let us make man, he wasn't talking to the angels. The word Elohim is plural. That means more than two. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. He knew full well what Adam was going to do. Adam looked like us. He started out perfect. But God was looking down through the ages to a place at Calvary where the last Adam was going to die for us. He was going to die in our room instead. And that last Adam was who? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. He took our sin upon himself, that we might be set free. The judgment that belonged to us, he took upon himself. The epaulet that the high priest took, and the high priest was a picture of the Lord, that had the stones that represented each tribe. What does shoulders speak of? Strength. He carried them on his shoulder. And there was another one over his heart. So he loved them. He kept them close to his heart. And that's the case with us as well. Verse 8 again. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were afar off, are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, in other words, the Jew and the Gentile. The two are brought together. Prior to the work of Calvary, there were only two types of people, the Jew and the Gentile. But once the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the church came into being. The Christian, the Jew, and the Gentile. But the Christian was made up of what? Jew and Gentile. Both were in it. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to them that are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We belong to the household of God. The Lord calls us brethren. But don't you ever call him brother. You never read anywhere where any of the disciples ever called him by his given name. It was always Lord, the Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, but never Jesus. Speaking about him, they may use the term Jesus, but they never spoke to him by his given name. He's who? He's the Creator. All things were made by him and for him, and without him was not anything that was made. They were made for him. Why? That he might have pleasure in them. God made man for what? Fellowship. Some people say, well, why didn't he make us so we couldn't sin? Well, then we would be what? Mere puppets. And you can't have fellowship with a puppet. So we find some people are going to find themselves in the devil's hell. Hell was not made for the people. It was made for the devil and his angels. Verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto one holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Revelation. Fifth chapter.